Well, Clark Laidlaw is back from London Irish. He's finished off his contract over there, been involved in 15s. Earlier this year, he was appointed as the new men's sevens coach to replace Sir Gordon Titchens. I thought it only reasonable for our sporting public to try and gain some understanding, get a bit more insight in terms of where he has come from. Because, as I said just moments ago, he's going to play a big part in our rugby fortunes in the future, particularly heading towards the Tokyo Olympics in 2020. So we welcome on the program. Clark, good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon.
Okay, Clark, you're the first non-New Zealand rugby coach to be appointed to a high-profile national team appointment here in this country since the professional era. How does that make you feel?
Yeah, slightly nervous, but it would make me nervous if I was a Kiwi too, I think. You know, I've been lucky enough to do all my adult coaching up until I left a couple of years ago in New Zealand, you know, working with Taranaki and the Sevens previously and then finishing with the Hurricanes and Super Rugby. So, you know, I think I've got a good understanding of New Zealand rugby and what the expectations are and coming back, you know, that was part of the exciting part of the role was coming back to those expectations.
Now, you played for Scotland. You'll remember the Sevens team that took part in the Commonwealth Games in 2006. Just for our listening audience, just tell us a little bit about yourself in terms of playing, growing up in Scotland and playing rugby over there and how it evolved into Sevens.
Yeah, well, I grew up in the Borders where Melrose is obviously where Sevens started. And as a teenager and a young player, you always played a lot of Sevens growing up through the back end of your season, going into spring. I suppose that started my interest in Sevens and then was lucky enough to play in the World Series and actually went to two Commonwealth Games but got injured in Manchester 4 or 5 days before the tournament. So was lucky enough to then go to the World Cup in Hong Kong in 2005 and in the Com Games in 2006. So that gave me a massive interest in Sevens and really enjoyed the game. And I suppose that's where it stemmed when I got the opportunity to work with Titch and the team in 2011. I was coaching the Taranaki Sevens at the time, which we used as a development model for Taranaki and used for our academy players, but it led to get an opportunity to work with the team previous and loved it, you know, and became a team that I've really followed over the last few years. And the opportunity to come back now and work with the team was massive and really exciting.
So it was the coaching opportunity with Sir Gordon Titchens that ultimately brought you to New Zealand, was it?
No, I was working for Taranaki Rugby, so I'd been in New Zealand for 2 or 3 years, working up there, and then working in the Mitre 10 with Coops and the team there. But I was coaching the Taranaki Sevens team, so you know we were lucky enough to make a couple of finals at the Nationals, and then go on and win the title. So that was where I suppose Titch and I sort of hooked up through working with Taranaki Sevens.
When you were playing Sevens for Scotland, it was very much a golden era for the New Zealand men's Sevens team. And I imagine you came up against them on a number of occasions. What was your perception? What was your understanding of New Zealand Sevens?
Yeah, well, we had massive respect for the way they played the game then. You know, players like Brad Fleming, Craig de Goldie, Amasia Valance were, I suppose, the players that I first played against. Aruni Ai, you know, so their ability to play with an intensity that probably we hadn't faced before, you know, in your local rugby was huge and something that, you know, really excited me when I got the opportunity to play against it. And loved watching the tussles between New Zealand and Fiji or New Zealand and Australia, who had a strong team way back then. You know, I used to love watching those games, the intensity which those games brought, was great.
How much did you learn under Sir Gordon Titchens?
Yeah, huge. I've been lucky to work under a number of different types of head coaches, from Taranaki through to the Sevens to the Hurricanes and even London Irish. But his ability to select well, his ability to drive standards in areas that he felt was important was a great learning curve when I was a young coach and you know, how he went about his business and the consistency that he brought to those standards and his selection, I think ultimately gave the team and him so much success.
You spent a lot of time coaching the 15-man game, an assistant coach with the Hurricanes, and you've just come back from a stint coaching with London Irish in the UK. I would have thought, Clark, that with how quickly the sport of sevens is evolving, that there might be a danger for coaches to step away from sevens for too long. Is there still significant crossover between the two games?
Yeah, well, it is. And I think that's the balance we've got in our coaching group, and why it was important to get that balance, because there is differences, you know, and having played both and then coached in both, I know that. We've got Tomasi Thama, who is pure sevens, and as you know, Liam Barry, who's come on board, it comes from a 15s background. But a lot of the game is rugby. You know, a lot of the principles around gaining possession, contesting possession, your core skills around catch, pass, tackle, clean out are really, you know, the same in any game. So the ability to perform, you know, our core skills under pressure is no different to Super Rugby or to sevens, apart from the obvious, there's a lot more space. So they get exposed even more so in sevens than they do in 15s.
You mentioned Liam Barry, Tomasi Thama, who will be your assistant coaches. How difficult was it having that conversation with Scott Waldrum and saying, look, you know, I'm wanting to move in a slightly different direction?
Yeah, well, it's difficult, you know, anytime, whether it's a player or a coach, if you have to make decisions to move on to somebody else. But I thought Scott and Tomasi done a great job last year. You know, they were thrown in there under the circumstances very late. And I think they both grew hugely, and I think Scott, you know, we hope that he's going to continue to be involved in sevens. Part of our development is to get a next tier, whether that be players, coaches, managers, S&C, physios. It's important we start growing the game underneath this team, and we really think that Scott's got a big role to play in that.
Yes, I was going to ask you that. What do you believe that this current sevens program in New Zealand is missing? What do you want to see implemented? What do we need to do to get the sevens program back to the top of the world like it once was, if we are realistically to challenge for Olympic Games gold in the future?
Yeah, well, there's a few areas, I think. I think one of the areas is we need to be able to spend time with the players. So, you know, the sort of decentralised model that New Zealand's operated under nowadays, where, you know, there's only 3 weeks between tournaments. There used to be 5-6 weeks between tournaments where the players had a chance to train and get up to speed between tournaments. Now that becomes difficult. But I think spending time with the players, you know, whether it's centralised or more camps, or, you know, we've got them working in the hubs, us going and working with the players in the hubs can help us, you know, get a performance gain quickly. I think there's areas within the game, you know, if you look at defence or discipline or set piece, we've just spent 3 days as coaches locked in a little room, watching. Well, we've got to get through all the tournaments. We only got through five. It took us an hour and a half to get through the first game. So there's areas within the game we think we can make improvements, you know, within our coaching reasonably quickly. But you're right, the game has evolved, and the opposition and the strength across the board is hugely different to what it was 4 or 5 years ago. So we've got to prepare our players better. We've got to find a consistency in how we prepare our players, so we can perform on day one and day two. Because I think that was the biggest thing this year. On day one, we could look $1 million, but the consistency to perform for six games, we really struggled to execute that.
How much of a challenge is it going to be in terms of future success, knowing that all young rugby players or established rugby players still tend to put Super Rugby as a higher priority than, say, playing sevens, and that the All Black jersey is such a strong lure that they will give up the opportunity to go to an Olympic Games to chase that dream?
Oh, I think the All Blacks and Super Rugby in New Zealand will still be where even when you grow up, that's where you want to get to. Now, what we got to be is a genuine option to be player, you know, to be involved in that. So, in through history, New Zealand sevens have produced and helped produce, you know, a number of All Blacks and a bigger number of Super Rugby players. So, I think reintegrating ourselves within New Zealand rugby and building relationships, you know, with Super Rugby and Mitre 10 through myself and Liam, you know, that's. That's something we think we can do well. So the next, you know, the next winger or the next open side, you know, seven, then sevens can be a genuine option as part of his development to kick on and become, you know, a Super Rugby player on All Black. Now, not all players can kick on and become long-term Super Rugby players or even All Blacks. So then we need to find the players that, you know, suit our game potentially more than the Super 15s and really work with them to become, you know, high-quality sevens players.
With the advent of sevens at the Olympic Games, we have seen the sport evolve and sevens is becoming very specialised. A slightly different skill set, some would say a very different skill set to the 15-man game. As we go towards the Tokyo Olympics and then the Olympic Games in 2024, do you believe it is going to be tougher for players to just be able to cross over from the 15-man game to the sevens in, say, the space of a month or 2 months, like has been done in the past?
Yeah, well, it's definitely something, you know, we've got an eye on and something we're going to trial potentially at the Commonwealth Games is how quickly can you transition in that quality rugby player? Because a lot of the game is rugby, you know, and the difference physically between sevens and 15s, especially Super Rugby now, is not as big as what people perceive. A lot of the measures we use are really similar, apart from that real top-end running. You know, so we got to work out, you know, one, is there players in 15s that could transition quickly? And two, how quickly can that actually happen? So we got to work that out, you're right, for the pinnacle events. Because if we think we can't do that, you know, and we need to trial that over the next couple of years, then that probably changes how we select the team going towards 2020.
Is the goal in 2020 Olympic Games gold?
Yeah, 100%. We're here to win every game, you know, so my expectations and what I'll be expressing to the players is we're getting to win every game. Now, realistically, that's not going to happen, but we have to try and prepare to win every game, and we have to have a mindset that we're going to prepare to try and win every game. So, yeah, 100%, we're going to try and build a team and a program that can be successful come 2020.
Clark, one of my criticisms of New Zealand sevens or New Zealand rugby and the emphasis they place on sevens is that they don't appear to want to spend money in terms of developing the game. I'm lucky enough to go up to the Coral Coast Fiji sevens every year, which is just a wonderful learning ground. Sevens at its absolute best, and if you can win there, then I think you put your hand up and you say you're genuinely world class. I've seen development teams from other countries looking to try and build depth. We've also got Youth Commonwealth Games going on at the moment. Sevens is part of the program there. We never seem to send any junior sevens teams to tournaments like that. Would you like to see that change? Is your goal to see the talent pool become a lot deeper and being able to send, say, New Zealand A teams or Colts teams to tournaments like that to gain that experience and to genuinely develop pure sevens players?
Yeah, it is. It's something that came strongly out of the reviews. You know, the first week I arrived, I was lucky enough to be involved with the reviews and the initial stages of planning for next season. So you're right, we need to find avenues of developing and exposing not only players but staff, because, you know, that's as important as the players. So finding opportunities to go to the Foru tournament in Fiji, or, you know, there's tournaments all around the world that we think can help develop players is important. The right time of the year is obviously important. You know, with such a congested rugby fixtures, we need to find windows that we can get access to the right types of players. So that's an area that we've already started doing a fair bit of work and planning and conversations how we make that happen.
Well, Clark Laidlaw, thank you for your time this afternoon. All the very best with your planning and for the upcoming World Seven Circuit and, of course, the Commonwealth Games in 2018. We look forward to following your progress.
Cheers, thanks a lot.